We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, everyone? It's Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. Thanks for checking in. Hope everybody's doing great. It's time to kick off happy hour, and Clue Haywood says it's time for Friday beers.
Let's go! Friday beers time. Welcome into the PHNX D-Back podcast right here on PHNX. My name is Derek Montilla, occasionally known as the birthday boy. This guy over here, he's my vice mayor that obviously didn't get me a cake. It's the one and only Thunderstick, Jesse Friedman.
Not yet.
The tea party hasn't happened yet, Derek. Okay. You don't know what might be waiting for you at the PHNX tea party.
I don't. You're right. There's calamity waiting for us around the corner over there. But what's waiting for you, Jesse Friedman, is a beer to have with me on my birthday.
Oh, thank you,
there
sir.
There we go, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
For always annoying me in a way that only you can, and for being
that's what I'm here for
being my co-host, for being the co-captain on this thing. But the Diamondbacks made some eye-raising moves today. When you talk about things we expected to happen when it came to their bullpen and who we expected to see on the roster in opening day, a couple of names that we did not expect to see the Diamondbacks part ways with, especially considering if you watched yesterday's episode.
Yeah, I feel really dumb. I'm pretty sure
these are wild.
Sure that Mike Hazen heard yesterday's show and was like, oh, Jesse Friedman said it was basically a lock. The jury's familiar was going to make the opening day roster. Let's send him out early Friday morning. That's exactly what the Diamondbacks did. They optioned both Luis Frias and Kyle Nelson to AAA Reno. They also reassigned Jury's Familia to minor league camp. We're not that surprised about Frias. I think we all kind of expected, as we talked about yesterday, Luis Frias had a really rough outing against the Cubs. Seemed like that might be it for him as far as potentially making the opening day roster. But both Kyle Nelson and Jury's Familia, both were guys that we had on our radar. So pretty big surprise for both of them.
Well, Familia, I mean, again, it's kind of wild because we've talked about things like Jordan Lawler could do everything right and not make this team. Same thing with Brandon Pfaadt. He was pretty damn good, and he was still sent down, even though his numbers are arguably better than the other options right now that they have for that final rotation spot, right? What could Familia have done more than a sub-2 ERA and come in here and just kind of been impressive? I mean, he did have that the pitch clock walk yesterday, so maybe that sealed the deal. I don't know, but it was pretty interesting considering how well he has pitched that they decided to part ways with him. And then there's another layer to that because his contract stipulates that if he is not on the opening day roster for the main, you know, for the D-backs, then he can opt out of his contract, which it's looking like he will do now that he's been reassigned to minor league camp.
Right. I mean, Torrey Lovello was asked this question today, like, what did you need to see from Familia that you didn't see? If I'm recalling correctly, he mentioned swing and miss. That was the first thing that came to mind for Lovello, just not getting enough whiffs, which is fair. It's very possible to come into spring training and have a good ERA or whatnot, but not necessarily have good peripherals and whatnot to go with it. So
you said they don't look at that stuff as much as they look at other things that Lovello talks about, but you just don't normally think of when you look at like an ERA like that. I think it was 1.83 ERA for Familia this spring training.
1.35.
I had those little reverse.
He had there. Six strikeouts in 6 2/3 innings. It's not like he didn't strike anyone out.
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head, you know, how many of those were swinging strikeouts versus looking or whatnot. Sure. But yeah, I mean, Familia did have an ERA over 6 last year. So I do understand from some standpoint, you're not just looking for him to look pretty good. Like, you're looking for Familia to come in and look like a different pitcher than he was in the past, because the pitcher that he was last year, you know, with the Phillies and with the Red Sox, was not a major league caliber reliever. And it's been a while since Familia has been, you know, the elite closer that we saw back in the mid 2010s. He just hasn't been that guy for a few years. So you can kind of see where they're coming from here, but surprising nonetheless.
Torrey also was, he had some comments on Kyle Nelson.
He was torn up, man.
He said he sounded pretty broken up about it.
Yeah, we have a clip where Torrey Lovello basically talks about sending down Kyle Nelson and how difficult of a decision that was for him.
Man, that one stung a little bit. He was somebody that we all counted on last year. You know, he had a 1.9 earned run average for the first half of the season, whatever it was, something ridiculous. Then he gets banged up and then fought to get back out there and do his thing. And he had some good and bad moments, and he was starting to show that same consistency here in spring. But maybe the consistency of getting very particular, I know it's there when he's right, and he was working to get right. So just trying to be picky right now, maybe the fastball command. The secondary stuff off of that, getting ahead. I just remember every time looking up, he and Joe Mantz probably were 0-1 on every hitter. And we need to get back to that with him.
Well, with the already open positions that we thought were going to be there based on the injuries, and now these send-downs, we don't know how this bullpen is going to shake up between now and opening day. We have our guesses because some of these guys have been pretty damn good so far, but the guys that we know are going to be there, Jesse, who do you got that you know is a lock for the bullpen at this point?
Pretty much same guys that we talked about yesterday. Mantiply, McGuff, Castro, Ginkle, Chafin.
Okay.
I think you can pretty much, I'm really scared to say this today, but I think you could take it to the bank that those five
Why
guys.
Why would you say it that way?
Because there's not like that many guys left, Eric. Like, at this point, there's so few guys left.
You
should have
said, I'm cautiously optimistic that these are the guys that are
unlocked. Unless you're bouncing Joe Mantiply for Peter Solomon, I think you can be pretty confident in those guys.
By the way, as Joe Mantiply lost a bunch of weight, have you noticed that he's kind of slimmed down too? I mean, there's not a bunch of weight because it's not like he's a heavier guy, but like, it's kind of like what we talked about a bit with Bumgarner. A lot of these guys look like they're in really good shape.
I've discovered that is just not a skill of mine as a journalist. Like, some people are really good at like marching into the clubhouse every year and being like, oh, this guy looks slimmed down. This guy looks like he's in not as great shape.
Yeah.
And
so I was saying that
I just
Corbin
go in there
jacked.
And I'm like, hey, they look like the same players as last year. So I'm not the right person to ask about that. But Joe Mantiply hasn't pitched particularly well this spring training. I don't think the Diamondbacks are super concerned necessarily about anything they've seen, but that is, I guess, something to monitor here as the season approaches.
So who makes it then? Who else fills out this bullpen? Because now it's really looking like some of those options that you kind of talked about there might be the guys that are still around. Carlos Vargas, Peter Solomon, Cole Sulcer.
Yeah. I mean, so you need three more guys, right? We named five that we feel pretty confident about. There's three spots left. And according to our calculations, the Diamondbacks only have five guys left in camp who are viable candidates for that. So you're picking three out of these five, essentially. Carlos Vargas, Peter Solomon, who hasn't pitched in a couple weeks, but has not been sent out yet, I don't believe. So he's still technically in the mix. Ryan Hendricks, who pitched, I believe, is scheduled to pitch today. I don't know if he might be pitching as we speak. Cole Sulcer, a name we talked about a little bit yesterday.
He's had an excellent spring.
He's had a really good spring. And then the last one would just be whoever doesn't win the fifth rotation spot out of Ryan Nelson and Dre Jameson.
Do you really think they could do that? Do you think that's the plan?
I think they might do that.
Really?
In fact, I'm going to be cautious with my predictions at this point.
Okay.
But Peter Solomon hasn't pitched in a couple weeks, like I said. I don't know if he's really in the mix at this point. He's not a guy that we've talked a whole lot about. Ryan Hendricks, the numbers, he has 11 strikeouts in seven innings. So he struck out some guys, but he's also given up three home runs in seven innings. Don't know if I really see him as being a firmly in the mix for that final spot. If it's not those two guys, then you've got to take the three. You've got to take the other three that we named. So
Carlos Vargas has some electric stuff. So
yeah,
if it's swing and miss stuff, he's got it.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's Vargas, and I think it's Cole Sulcer. Mm-hmm. As we talked about yesterday, we thought yesterday had a good chance. I think that's pretty much a lock at this point. And then it's whoever doesn't win the fifth rotation spot. It sounds like it's going to be either Dre Jameson or Ryan Nelson opening the year in the bullpen.
Wow. That's wild. And Torrey Lovullo talked about the possibility of that today.
He did, yes.
Yeah, we've been discussing a lot of different options with every player that's still in camp. So, it's a consideration. If it happens, I'm not sure of yet, but we've filled in a lot of gaps over the past 48 hours. You can see the numbers. You probably can start to piece it down yourself. Where that takes us, we're not sure, but anything's on the table right now.
That's wild, because I really didn't think that that was going to be an option for them when it came to those two guys specifically.
About a week ago, when we asked Torrey about whether the guy who loses out on that spot would be an option in the bullpen, he basically said it was a discussion that they hadn't really had yet. He didn't rule it out, but it didn't really sound like there had been much conversation on that front. We wondered at the time, like, what happens if one of these D-back starters needs to get yanked in the second inning and you kind of just have to piece it together with the guys that you have with no real long man. Maybe those concerns kind of weighed on them a little bit. And they were like, oh, you know, we wouldn't mind having a guy who's actually stretched out to open the season.
Only because Justin keeps asking about it.
I asked about it once or twice.
No, but I'm saying, like, it's funny to wonder sometimes if, like, those thoughts then, you know, like, sometimes they haven't crossed their mind yet.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know,
it sounded like... Yeah, the Diamondbacks are out here making decisions because the reporter asked him a really good question.
Hey, Torrey loves his questions. But, hey, I mean, don't put it past that. Like, sometimes, you know, again, the weird part about it is to think of their, you know, obviously they're having these conversations and stuff, but a lot of this stuff is happening in real time, and they're noticing it at the same time that we're noticing it, right? Like, we're there at these games as well, so it's easy to kind of pick up sometimes on who's doing well. And, you know, that's why the Familia decision kind of was surprising. Like, maybe in some cases his ERA was determined by some good defense behind him instead of necessarily having the best stuff. Maybe it's just a situational thing and the Diamondbacks can have analytics to tell them that, right? But
yeah,
they do have some other positional things that are positional decisions that they have to make. And
might
it's
have
not
a
just,
backup first baseman there,
right?
Who might not? Who, might not have to be Pavin Smith.
Let's go. Well, because Kyle Lewis should not be sent down, and we know that because the man continues to rake, including today. But what do they have for a backup at first base?
Yeah, so I guess I'll let Torrey do the talking here. We asked Torrey basically to just list out, who are the options that you guys have at first base? In the past, when we've asked this question, Torrey has named guys like Emmanuel Rivera and Seth Beer, who don't look like they're going to actually make the team. Seth Beer certainly not going to make the team. And yeah, I don't think Emmanuel Rivera is going to make it either. So those seem like guys that weren't going to be real viable backup options at first base because they weren't going to make the team. But today, Torrey had a little bit more lengthy of an answer to that question.
Pavin, Rivera, and you'll start to see Gurriel over there in the next 48 hours. Put 11 games there last year. Got him a number of ground balls yesterday. I'm sorry, today in early work. And Herrera will be another candidate, somebody we're going to work in over there. So for right now, we're still trying to figure out when he'll get his first innings over there. So I don't know. Higgins has also been over there.
Wow.
Jose Herrera, the first baseman.
Wow.
I don't want to take a shot at Jose Herrera, but
go for it.
He might be the most light hitting first baseman that has played on the Diamondbacks in quite some time. Okay. I don't know if he's a guy you want to give a whole lot of at bats to over there, but this is really like the Diamondbacks need a first baseman for emergency scenarios and for very occasional days off for Christian Walker. Basically.
Right, because Christian Walker is very durable. In fact, I believe he played 160 games last season.
Sounds right. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's the emergency like Jesse talked about.
D-backs didn't give Christian Walker a day off for a span of
that's just 3 months.
Wild. Or
something like that. But he also, they did when he DH'd.
Yeah, you can DH him. So but you can still get him a day off his feet. And that's what the Diamondbacks need is if you want to give Christian Walker at least a day off his feet, you need somebody to go over at first base. And yeah, it sounds like that Gurriel is the big one there. We've talked about his name a lot. He played some games with the Blue Jays last year over at first base. We figured that might be an option. And it's something we suspected might happen. It's not if you need a guy to go over there and play first base, you don't necessarily need him to start getting reps back on March 5th.
Right.
You can kind of do this with guys where it's like, all right, we know you've played there in the past, so we're going to get you a couple reps over there before the season starts. That's probably enough for a guy like Gurriel, who's already played there, to be ready to go by the season starts if they need him to fill in over there.
It's just the fact that they don't have a solid option. And honestly, what's even a bit more concerning is the fact that when you start looking into their minor league system, there isn't a guy really ready should they need to call upon somebody. Like Seth Beer would probably be an option at that point.
I think Rivera would maybe be a guy they would call up before they would call up Seth Beer.
That's a good point. Because, and again, Rivera has the flexibility. Like, as if you can, even if you're not hitting above 220, if you could come in and play two positions for Torey Lovullo, he will cherish you.
Yeah. But, and Rivera was a good defender. Like, he's a really good
third baseman last year. He was really good at third base, probably pretty good at first base too. And he had just an awesome stretch for them offensively, but then kind of fell off after that and came back down to earth. Speaking of coming back down to earth, we know Corbin Carroll isn't human. We know he's an alien. We know he's an extraterrestrial. You don't need any proof to for that other than looking at him run, right? Like, normal human beings don't look like that when they run. They look like that when they go through like a weird wind tunnel test or, you know, They're in a convertible going 175 miles an hour. Right?
He tripled again yesterday at Sloan Park. We didn't even talk about that yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's still home. No. I don't believe he's still home. But basically every time Corbin Carroll triples, it goes viral on social media.
Because it's electric.
Because it is electric.
It's never an actual triple. None of them have been actual triples where other baseball players would have gotten to third base. They're all mostly stand-up doubles that Corbin Carroll stretched into a triple, and I think that's the thing about Corbin Carroll's game. But we did find potentially a weakness in his game. We've talked about it a little bit, but
it's not earth-shattering.
It's definitely not earth-shattering, but it's been kind of, I would say, magnified a bit in a very small sample size this spring training, because his splits versus left-handed pitching and right-handed pitching are noticeably different. Jesse,
It's pretty big. I had kind of had this thought a few days ago. I was like, huh, because Corbin Carroll's hitting like 400 in spring training. So you don't even really think to check his splits. It's like, yeah, he's probably doing pretty well against both lefties and righties.
Leave him be.
But we have seen Corbin take a few not great swings at times against some tough lefties in spring training. And so, last night I went over to MLB.com and looked up some splits here in spring training. He is hitting 154. Against lefties. He's 2-for-13, 214 on base percentage, 231 slugging percentage. Against righties in spring training, he's hitting 462 with a 600 on base percentage and an 846 slugging percentage.
He is hitting over 1,000.
His OPS is almost 1,500.
it's crazy.
Yeah, his OPS is literally 1,000 points different in spring training versus righties versus
over
lefties.
1,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, it continues a trend. This isn't a new thing for Corbin Carroll. It's something we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Last year in the regular season, I won't do the full slash sign. He had a 590 OPS against lefties compared to 917 versus righties. And even in the minors last year, he had a 777 OPS against lefties, which is not terrible.
Yeah.
Not great in the very hitter-friendly environments that he was playing in, but not terrible. But compare that with a 1052 OPS against righties. So there's a thing here, Derek. The man has had fewer than 800 professional plate appearances, so you're not sounding the alarm bell just yet.
Sure.
He's probably had about 150 professional career plate appearances against lefties, which is insane that he's already in the big leagues and he's already signed an extension for over $100 million. That's not normal. but it's something to watch. It's something to watch because if there's any knock on Corbin Carroll's game, it's that he has yet to prove that he can really hit lefties in the big leagues.
Way too early to say he'll ever be any kind of platoon player,
yeah,
because his value is too high no matter what, right? Like,
yeah,
even
I don't,
if he's struggling,
I don't know.
You want him out there.
Right. You're not calling him Jake Lamb at this point. It's not.
Or ever.
Level.
Or fucking ever, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, Corbin, I'm talking strictly offensively. I'm not, okay. Obviously, Corbin Carroll brings a whole lot to the table with his defense and his base running and so forth. But yeah, I mean, Corbin Carroll could be a really good player, even if he always struggles a little bit against lefties, just given everything that he brings to the game. But it is a big variable. If you're going to be a superstar, which the Diamondbacks sort of paid Corbin Carroll like he's going to be a superstar. Superstars don't have huge platoon splits in general. You don't really, like, you go through any big name in this game that you can think of. You look up their splits, they'll have splits.
Sure.
But it's not like their offensive value is completely nullified against lefties.
Lefties, right.
And I don't know if Corbin Carroll is necessarily at that point, but it's something to monitor.
He's so young that it's hard to say that, and so inexperienced when it comes to playing professional baseball, really, in the grand scheme of things. It's like Mike Hazen said, he rocketed through the minor league system, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just something you don't normally see. It's hard to hold somebody that was at his level at every minor league level back in any way, right? Like, he was performing at such a high level that you want to keep advancing him. And I think that he's going to do great at a major league level, but that is part of the learning process, is figuring out how to be more effective against the pitching that really kind of you struggle with, right?
And yeah,
I think the Diamondbacks want him, you know, getting the major league coaching on that. That's another thing about it that's going to help him come along, I think, as long as he just doesn't press on it and make it too big of an issue, he'll be fine and he'll come around.
Yeah. Will be interesting to see if the Diamondbacks, like, hide him against lefties at all.
Right.
Like, I'll be curious to know, we're going to talk about this later in the show. Julio Urias is starting opening day for the Dodgers. So you got a tough lefty on the mound. Does that mean Corbin Carroll is batting lower in the lineup than he otherwise would?
Interesting.
Does that mean he's not? I don't think they would bench him entirely.
No.
I think he's just too big a part of this team at this point to
but
do
does,
that.
Does he hit leadoff when you know he's not going
to
find success at the plate against him?
Torrey tends to run out pretty different lineups out there, depending on whether there's a lefty or righty on the mound. So I wouldn't be surprised if Carroll was batting seventh or eighth or something like that in that game.
Yep. It wouldn't be the worst idea, especially opening day, right? I mean, it just makes sense. And then it takes a little bit of the pressure off of him early on to try to just go out there and play baseball and find success at the plate. But
could you imagine the rioting among Diamondbacks fans that would happen if Corbin Carroll was not in the opening day lineup?
Oh my God. I don't even want to imagine that. What a nightmare that would be. But, anyway, if you guys are watching us right now on the PHNX Sports YouTube channel, thank you so much for being here. It's of course a wonderful day. It's my birthday. It's also the Undertaker's birthday. So we share that.
There you go.
I know Jesse needed to know that information, but if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the PHNX Sports YouTube channel, sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss whenever any of our shows go live, and leave us a thumbs up. Again, it's my birthday. You should feel obligated to, and I don't want to make you feel obligated, but just saying you should feel obligated to. If you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, please subscribe to us there if you haven't done so already. Leave us a review. We always appreciate the feedback. Speaking of feedback, the Diamondbacks didn't need any feedback or any information from anybody. And nobody, there's no surprise when it comes to this. But Zach Gallen is going to be the Arizona Diamondbacks starting pitcher on opening day.
Shocker.
Much to the surprise of nobody. But it's interesting because Zach Gallen has kind of struggled a bit in spring training. He struggled again today. Didn't have a great outing today.
Yeah.
And I know that this was already, like, there was probably nothing he could really do to not be the opening day starter, but is there any concern? Are you concerned yet? I know you don't get concerned. You stay unbiased and neutral, but should I be concerned, Jesse?
About Zach Gallen?
About Zach Gallen, should I be concerned?
A little bit.
Oh my God, don't say
I'm going to say a little bit.
Oh,
I'm not going to say a lot. I'm not saying sound the alarm bell. I'm not saying you shouldn't be the Diamondbacks opening day starter. You absolutely should. You earned that. But Zach Gallen has just not really looked like himself in spring training. Today against the Cincinnati Reds, Salt River Fields, his final tune-up before the season starts. 5 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, gave up 2 home runs. He's not really getting the swing and miss that we're used to seeing. That's the biggest thing for me. It would be one thing if Gallen was still getting a lot of swings and misses, but you know, maybe he's missing a few more spots and you know, guys are making a little more hard contact against him than normal. He's not really getting the swings and misses that we're used to seeing. Gallen has only 10 strikeouts in the Cactus League over 16 2/3 innings. I'm still not going too crazy about this. His velocity ticked up a little bit today. I think it was around 92.5 on average. It was 91.5 in his last start. So that's a positive development. But be interesting to see what he looks like next week at Dodger Stadium. You like to believe that he can turn it on, and you know, maybe he's just kind of been working on some stuff, and you know, this isn't really him going as hard as he could possibly go, but we'll have to see.
That's my question, is I feel like certain guys, when they're at this point in their career, don't want to go out there in spring training and show that everything that they can do just yet, right?
Yeah.
But I also don't know, because Zach Gallen hasn't had many starts against an actual opposition. And I don't know, like, I'm not saying he's actively going out there and not putting in an effort, but we know that guys at this stage in their career tend to be working on something specific, and they don't really care about the results. They don't care if they're giving up homers. They're literally trying to throw a certain pitch, you know, almost every at bat to try to work on it, right? So,
yeah.
Like, obviously that could be the case here with Gallen, but
that has definitely been the case to some degree. He has talked about that after some of his outings, you know, experimenting with different pitches and different spots or whatnot. So
you'd rather screw up now and see what does and doesn't work and see what, you know, I mean, but
yeah,
but there does come a point where you kind of want to see Gallen like dialed in, and you want to see him kind of the way that hopefully we get to see him, you know, in the regular season. So there does seem to be a bit of concern, but Torey Lovullo, had a little bit more information
to switch gears. Here's Torey Lovullo talking about why Zach Gallen unequivocally deserves to be the opening day starter.
Without a doubt, on Torey's side.
I don't know. He's earned it. He was one of the top pitchers in the National League last year. He anchored our staff all year last year, and I just think he deserves it, and it's an exciting moment for him. It'll be his first opening day start, and I know that honor only happens to 30 pitchers in the big leagues, and he's one of them, and he deserves it. That's the only thing I can come up with, but I couldn't think of a better candidate. Somebody's going to be ready to almost win a baseball game. That's the bottom line.
Clutch Canuck with an interesting comment about being concerned with the pitch clock with Zach Gallen. Don't have the stat, but he seemed to take his time with players on base last year. He absolutely did.
He was one of the slowest workers in baseball last year with runners on base. He also, I believe, if you look at the difference between his pace without runners on base versus with runners on base, he had the largest difference of anyone in all of baseball, at least among starting pitchers. So, once he gets guys on base, Gallen does tend to slow the game down a lot, and that's something that he's had to adjust on. He hasn't been able to do that with the pitch clock. You can't slow the game down to the degree that he has in the past. You also can't throw to first base 6 times in an at bat like we saw Zach Gallen do at times last year. I'm not necessarily convinced that his spring training struggles have much to do with that. It hasn't, at least visually, looked to me like that's been bothering him, but it's possible. It's definitely possible.
Yeah, you never know. And especially, he's not going to admit to it. But
yeah,
we do hear little passive aggressive comments from everybody. I don't know too many people that have like that play the game that love the pitch clock or like completely back it fully, right? There's either the attitude like Torey has, which is basically, what's the point of even having what's the point of having an opinion on it? We're going to do it, and we're forced to do it, and it's a rule, so we're just going to do it. And some guys, that seems to be the position they take. Like, if you kind of listen to them, you know, talk about it, they'll just say, whatever, it is what it is. The minor league guys that have been through it, like Dre Jameson and Tommy Henry, they don't seem to mind it at all. Like, the guys that have played in it don't really have much, like, complaints about it, which is interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because, again, it feels like one of those things that you're more mentally upset about than you are once you actually start doing it in the game. So, but we'll see if that impacts Zach Gallen once the regular season comes along. Hopefully, my crazy conspiracy there is the case, and hopefully Zach Gallen's just kind of working on stuff and not giving that full effort because he doesn't need to at this time of the year.
I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, that's a pretty normal thing, and Gallen has talked about that some. So, yeah, that's why I'm not that concerned. Like, if Zach Gallen goes out there against the Dodgers and goes six scoreless innings or something, it'd be like, yeah, well, that's kind of who Zach Gallen is, right? I mean, the man had a 2.54 ERA last year, and you figure when the bright lights come on, he'll be able to turn it on. So it's more of just a thing to monitor, something to watch. I did look at his spring training numbers in years past just to compare. He only pitched in two games last year. Obviously, it was a really quick ramp up. Looked good in those games, had a 1.42 ERA. Pretty good in 2021 as well. If you go back to 2018, though, Zach Gallen, this was before he actually broke into the major. So I think he was, you know, kind of the young minor leaguer coming up, wasn't expected to make the team. But Zach Gallen in 2018, 4 1/3 innings, 15 hits, 18 runs, 3 home runs, 8 walks, 3 strikeouts. That was Zach Gallen in 2018 in spring training with the Miami Marlins. So he's been through worse, Derek. Okay. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Like that poor kid the Dodgers served up to the Diamondbacks in the first inning the other day. Poor guy. Anyway.
A 37.38 ERA. That's rough, man. That is rough.
You're right. Things could be worse. But today is a great day. Not only is it my birthday, but we're going out to have a fun time at Dobson Ranch for our PHNX tea party tonight. Hope to see so many of you guys out there. If you're a diehard already, we thank you guys for being a diehard, for joining us, being part of the family. If you haven't gotten that membership yet, grab yourself a diehard membership. Not only do you get discounts on events like this, you also get exclusive invites to members-only events and members-only discounts with our partners. You get a free piece of merchandise from the phnxlocker.com every year you're a member, as well as 20% off all future purchases. You also get Jesse's newsletter, Full Count, and all the wonderful writings from all of our writers here at gophnx.com. You also get access to our members-only Discord lounge as well. So many benefits to being a diehard member. So join the family today and get in here. Join us tonight. It's going to be a fun time. On your way out there, of course, stock up at your favorite on all your favorite stuff at Circle K. It's the best way to get yourself ready for tonight. Bring, we're going to golf, right? So make sure to grab yourself some Gatorade. Stay hydrated. I'm going to need an energy drink definitely between then and now. And I do know that they have the monsters that I love, the 12-ounce ones, 2 for $4.50 or 3 for $6. I don't buy them anywhere else because when I do, I feel like I'm just losing money. Sometimes I do it out of convenience, but Circle K is so convenient. They're located all over the valley. And of course, you can find them on their store locator over at circlek.com/store-locator to find the Circle K near you. Make sure you're not missing out on all this great stuff and be stocked up on March Madness fuel all month long here from Circle K. While you're there, make sure to grab yourself some Four Peaks beer. That's what we're drinking today. Again, cheers to my friend, Jesse. I have to call him that. I'm obligated to call him my friend on this show. But of course, shout out to Four Peaks, our favorite local brew. Make sure to grab their beer wherever you get your beer. Grab it at Circle K. You can also check out their 8th Street Pub, Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. They have tours all month long in the month of March. They also have their events calendar where you can get all their beer week entertainment at fourpeaks.com/events. And got Bo sitting over here, Bo in the house, Cardinals here. We are very excited about what the Cardinals' future looks like. Hopefully, like Jesse said, Jesse took a knock at them yesterday saying,
The D-backs
were where we were there one point. Now that's where the Cardinals are. But
the draft is always big.
The draft is always huge. And of course, new coach, new GM, Cardinals with the third pick in the draft. It's a big opportunity for Arizona and the best place to take in this pivotal moment. And the rest of the NFL draft on April 27th is the Four Peaks 8th Street Pub. Must be 21 years or older to enjoy responsibly. Before we get out of here, we got lots of baseball video game news, which is really what I wanted to make this podcast
about. The best kind of news.
That's all I wanted to talk about, video games, Power Wash Simulator. That's pretty much it. That's what I wanted to make the show into. Jesse wouldn't let me. But we do have, of course, MLB The Show 23 dropped today. I guess for people that pre-ordered it, you guys are lucky devils. I don't get mine until March 28th. But people are loving it so far, Jesse. So far, I've seen I haven't seen, like, usually when a video game drops, you will see a wave of either complaints or compliments. Yeah, about
everyone's
it, right?
Just angry for at least about a month.
Because we,
and then it cools off.
Look, here's the thing with video games. We all get made into beta testers now, even when we're purchasing a game. They have the ability to actually let you beta test games. So they could do that. But instead, a lot of times you go out there, you pay the money for the game, and then you become the beta tester, figuring out all the bugs and all the things wrong with it in the first like 2 months, while the rest of us wait for the price to drop, and then we buy it at a reasonable time. But
I mean, MLB The Show has zero competition.
No, it really doesn't. It really
it's always a little dangerous. Right. I mean, it's kind of the same deal with NBA 2K.
Yeah, right.
Like who exactly is pushing you to make this game better year to year?
But they did. They
but
did.
Yeah, it seems like MLB The Show is people are enjoying it so far. I had some fun tuning into some live streams late last night, seeing people poke around. We're definitely gonna do some MLB The Show content at some point.
For sure.
We gotta see Derek lose to a team on rookie at some point.
I'm not gonna lose to a team on rookie.
All right. But I'll lose to a team on All-Star win a game or whatever. On rookie.
That's fine. That'll probably happen. But they did include a really cool update, which is that the World Baseball Classic teams are gonna be featured well as the teams or the stadiums where the games were played in. So you'll be able to play in Taiwan and Japan as well as Chase Field. Hey,
will the roof be leaking?
The roof will be leaking. It leaks on the
on deck circle.
Yep, and in section 126, it doesn't open if people are in the stadium. That's part of the video game.
But in the video game, the players aren't smart enough to know to like get out of the way when the water's dripping.
So
Mike Trout just walks up to the plate and he's just drenched.
Yeah. And then like it affects your at bat, right? You're slippery now, and you're not going to be as effective. The realism is incredible. But in other video game news, another game that this guy over here absolutely loves and a lot of people do is the Out of the Park Baseball Strategy Game franchise, which has released its 24th edition of the baseball simulator. And to celebrate its release today, the team at Out of the Park Baseball ran 1,000 simulations of the 2023 MLB season to get a feel for what fans can expect this year. And Jesse,
I love it.
OOTP predicted the Arizona Diamondbacks would edge out the Philadelphia Phillies by one game for the final playoff spot in the National League.
Hey, man.
Let's go!
That's what we've been talking about.
Go!
We've been talking about the Philadelphia Phillies being the team that you kind of got to beat if you're going to get in there. If you're the D-backs, right? You know the Mets are going to be in there. You know the Braves are going to be in
there. Mets were a wild card team in this situation, and so were the Padres. Dodgers won the division, Cardinals won the division, and the Braves won their division.
I just love the optics of the Mets being a wild card team.
Isn't that wild?
How much money. It is wild, literally.
So they match up in this simulation. They match up with the Padres in the playoffs. We would match up with the Cardinals. And then the Dodgers and the Braves would have a bye in the first round.
Cardinals Diamondbacks historically has gone very poorly for the Diamondbacks. And
according
the Diamondbacks
to the simulation,
do not play well against that baseball.
In 103 matchups, the Cardinals dominated the D-backs in the first round of the National League playoffs, winning picking up a series victory 63% of the time.
I mean, that's not so high, right?
Yeah, I guess
you got a better than a 1/3 shot of winning it, right?
In the averages, that's a pretty big margin of victory.
That is pretty big. I will say, if you got the Cardinals in a 3-game series, the Cardinals starting pitching is kind of the weakness.
Sure.
It's not a team that necessarily is built for the postseason, I wouldn't say. Not to say the Diamondbacks, you feel pretty good about Gallen in game one.
Sure.
I don't know about the, who you got in the second and third games of that series if it went that far. Dre Jameson and Brandon Pfaat. There you go. Starting games
Let's
two and
go.
Three.
Let's go. I love that idea.
I feel like it would be fascinating if the Diamondbacks were in a postseason series, because they would have to figure out whether, like, how to use Madison Bumgarner. Because the man is a postseason legend. He is a more legendary postseason performer than anyone in the Diamondbacks roster.
Yeah, but does that matter at this point? Like, is he that guy anymore?
It might not. But it might. I don't know. I mean, if you're Torrey Lovello, are you going to look Mad Bum in the eyes, one of the best postseason pitchers of all time,
tell him take
and
a
say,
seat.
Yeah, we might have a, you know, an inning for you in the fifth if we're down by seven runs or something. You know, I don't know if you're going to use that man in a walk.
That's
I mean,
a sick burn.
Because he's not. I don't think the Diamondbacks would consider him as one of their three best starting pitchers. So
nor their five top relievers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Where would he factor in? I don't know.
Although Mad Bum is slated to start the third game of the season. It lines up as Gallen for game one, Merrill Kelly game two, Mad Bum, and then Zach Davies as the fourth starter. And then, of course, whoever wins the fifth spot after
that. Don't like that one bit. But again, this is the reason why when you look at some of the bullpen things that are happening, you should be probably a little bit more excited about it because Kyle Nelson is a really good pitcher, for instance. And
yeah,
for them to pass up on Jeurys Familia's experience and Kyle Nelson, knowing what they can get out of him and how reliable he's been for them in the past, I think it shows that there's some exciting new arms on this team that they think are going to be able to help them win baseball games more than some of the names that we've seen already in the bullpen last year that honestly at times just like, It's no attack. I mean, Joe Mantiply was this team's only all-star, and even he dropped the ball at times when it came to coming in and being reliable, especially in the second half of the season. So I think that all of this change is good for the D-backs, and it just goes to show that they're really not holding on to any, you know, of these old players just due to familiarity or due to the fact that, you know, Lovello at one point could trust them. It sounds really like they're trying to bring in the best talent, whether it's a veteran or whether it's a guy that's you know, just coming up out of minor leagues.
Yeah. I mean, you feel like last year, Familia with the spring he's had probably makes the team. And you feel like Kyle Nelson, you know, technically Kyle Nelson didn't make the team last year. He lost out to one Oliver Perez.
Who
did not last long.
And did make the team last year.
Cost
the
Diamondbacks
a few
games before officially entering retirement. But I think the bar has been raised a little bit in the bullpen. We're not here to say the D-backs have a top 10, even like a top 50% bullpen at this point. But I think it's better and it's different at the very least than what they had last year.
We have a brand new sponsor, and we are very excited to be partnering with our friends from Fubo TV.
Ooh.
By the way, yes, Fubo TV, 140 plus live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news. Cut that cord and get over to Fubo TV. Stream live TV from any device. Watch the most Arizona sports for the lowest price, and you can start watching immediately with a 7-day free trial. No contract, no cable, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching. They actually have thousands of hours of cloud DVR space included at no extra charge. And you can watch your Arizona Diamondbacks on Bally Sports with Fubo TV. Use the link in the description to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. I wanted to throw in there for now, because we have no idea how long you're going to be able to watch Bally Sports. But in the meantime, Fubo TV's got your back, because whether it's Bally Sports or anywhere else, they will be broadcasting that. And if MLB.com doesn't end up broadcasting those games and Bally Sports continues to do so, make sure to catch all of that action on Fubo TV. Let's see what we got. Watch your local teams while traveling too. That's another big thing that you can do with Fubo TV. And also, when you guys are ready to check out some baseball games, again, we've tried to tell you spring training was here. It's gone now.
Well, Salt River Fields, that part of it is gone, which is really sad. It's very sad.
I knew he was
going to. I shed a tear when I left Salt River Field.
He's so upset. He's so actually
upset. So beautiful. It's so beautiful.
And I tell him, like, imagine, but you don't know what watching games in June is like there. And
That's true.
It would be absolutely miserable.
It probably would be.
Yeah.
But I still, in the press box, we have air conditioning.
I believe
they have air conditioning in the press box. So yeah, the players would be miserable, Derek. We would be fine, at Salt River Fields in the middle of the summer.
Actually, that's a good point. And you know, I only care about myself, but I care about you guys when it comes to saving money on baseball games, sporting events, concerts, and all other events that you want to attend. Make sure to grab your tickets over at Game Time. Do not pre-plan. Procrastinate, right? You have no idea what you're going to be doing sometimes when these events are coming around, but don't miss out at the last minute. You see a show you want to go to, wait until the last minute and save big, save up to 60% on tickets when you buy them last minute. And the best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description over at Game Time, and that's gametime.co or on the Game Time app. So make sure to grab that. I will need to wrap this up, Jesse. I got a birthday to go celebrate, and apparently I don't get enough of these people around here because that's where I'm spending it tonight, over at Dobson Ranch for the PHNX tea party. And I want to see this guy win some ping pong games. So that's going to be the highlight of my night. But you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBacks. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you so much for the birthday wishes in the chat. You guys are the best. On behalf of Jacob, Jesse, and myself, we always appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when you realize the answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42.